even though you guys could go and have your own separate mansions at this stage, you still live with your brother, your brother's wife, his two kids, your wife, your kid, and your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we do. I mean, we like living together.
Hi, I'm Luke Hanson McDonald, and welcome to Beyond the Family Business. Hi, Luke Hanson McDonald here. Welcome to part two of the two-part interview with e-commerce entrepreneur Nirav Gandhi. If you haven't seen part one, go watch that first. If you have, buckle up and enjoy.
What does family mean to you?
Are we starting again?
Yeah. Well, we can take a break for a second if you want.
We're no break in any.
Okay. Oh, this is going back into it. All right. Take a second. All right.
All right,
can we start again?
Yes, we can start. At least give me a heads up.
Okay. What does family mean to you?
Family means everything. You live life once, right? And I want to spend it with the people I care about. I know I'm repeating myself, but then that's what family is. You know, there's no one else I would spend a minute with more than family.
Yeah. And I think that is why we've got along so well from the start, is that we're from different worlds. We're, you know, from different cultures, from different cities, et cetera, and, you know, different businesses. And while your business is incredibly impressive and was always very intriguing, your passion for family, which is absolutely how I was raised, has always been there.
Yeah.
And the story that summed it up for me, which was an incredible story, was the day that you retired your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Would you be willing to share that?
Sure. I mean, you know, this is when we first started the business. I didn't quit my job yet. So it was maybe 6-7 months down the road when we first started. And we were doing pretty well. You know, we wanted to make a couple $100 a month. We were making, you know, a couple $100 a day extra. So my brother and I, we go pick up our mom. We're like, okay, this is your last day. randomly. We're like, we just go pick her up. We're like, you're not going to, yeah, done. no more work. Because she worked at a factory and, you know, that's, everybody works at a factory. There's, no, I mean, a lot of people do in Canada. It's not anything out of the ordinary. But we just felt that, you know, she's done her part in raising us, working hard as she did. We have enough income. We might, when we first started, we might not be filthy rich. But it was enough for her to not work anymore.
And what was her reaction?
I feel like she was in tears, but she was holding back. And it was just a quiet ride.
Yeah.
It was a quiet 15-minute drive back home. But I think we were all holding back tears because it was a big, big thing for us. Because, you know, seeing my mom's never worked in India, coming to Canada, all she did for the last 20, 25 years was this factory work. And it's not like one shift. If she was able to do a second shift the same day, you know, sometimes there's options, she would take it, you know. So she's worked hard. So it was our time, you know. Both of her kids are now working at banks. You know, we have decent, not crazy salaries, but new grad, decent salary. So, and all living in the same household, we didn't need her to work at a factory anymore. So,
incredible.
Yeah.
Your parents must be unbelievably proud of you guys.
Indian parents don't get proud. it's always about the next thing. So after, you know, it's okay, you're making millions. That's not a problem. When are you going to get married? you know, it's always, and then when you get married, it's like, okay, you know, you got married. When are you going to have the next kid? there's no moment where they express how proud they are. But they're sad. They're happy with their kids. I mean, they may not say it in front of us.
Yeah.
Or they may not express feelings in front of us. We're a very traditional family. We don't like just hug each other. And
really?
Yeah. It's not. It's.
But you're so close.
We're so close. Yeah. But I guess it's. I don't know. We're close, but we're not open to share feelings as much. I guess because we've never had time to. you know, sit down and share feelings. Someone's always at work. Someone's always doing this.
That's super interesting. I didn't know that. So just so that all the viewers are aware, so you lived in a small house together. You moved to a slightly larger house. Now you live in a bigger house. Do you live separately now?
So you know the answer to this as well. So let me start from the beginning. So my grandma lived in a house the size of this room.
Yeah.
So my grandparents, my brother, my father, my father's siblings, six people lived in a house the size of this room. Right. My dad moved to Mumbai. We lived in a shared community. So shared community would be like you all have your house, but then everyone shares the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So from that, and again, so the first house was my grandma used to live in the smallest house in a village. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Mumbai and then we lived in a slightly bigger house because my dad was able to afford it. And then we moved into an apartment, one bedroom apartment building in India. Mm-hmm. Which was a big deal for us because now instead of living in a shared communal housing system, we had our own space. Mm-hmm. Then we came to Canada into apartment. So we lived in a one bedroom with my family, my uncle's family. And then we moved into a three bedroom apartment, so what we would do is we'd rent out the other two bedrooms to people so they can help with the rent. And then we moved to our first house, which was a semi-detached in Scarborough, which was around 1600 square feet. And then we moved, I think after 4 or 5 years, after me and my brother graduated, we had a proper job. Remember I said we moved into a bigger basement? So mm-hmm. We were able to find a house in Brampton, around 3,000 square feet. So we moved into that, which was huge.
Yeah.
Especially for us.
That's a great size house.
Yeah.
Especially in Toronto.
Yeah. Well, Brampton.
Yeah. GTA.
Which was huge, right? And we were like, yes, we made it. and it was funny because when we bought that house, me, my brother, my dad, we opened up Excel. And we're like, hey, this is our salary. This is our mortgage. How are we going to pay this?
Yeah.
Right? So we went down. We were like, okay, you're making this much. You're making this much. This is our car expense. And then, you know, we're like, okay, we're there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to make it. But it was like still like, hey, we were nervous because it was a big investment, big purchase for us. And then we lived there for, I would say, 6-7 years. And then,
so that was your parents and you and your brother?
House.
Living in that house together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my brother got married in that house.
Yeah.
To his wife. And he had his first kid in that house. And then we built another house that's around 18,000 square feet, or 19,000 square feet, if you consider the basement, or 14,000 without. So, you know, it's a decent size house.
That is one of the biggest houses I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a decent, I mean, it's not as big as Shaq's house.
But you still live,
yeah,
even though you could easily afford it. My point was, even though you guys could go and have your own separate mansions at mm-hmm. that stage, you still live with your brother, your brother's wife, his two kids, your wife, your kid, and your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we like living together. I mean, I guess a lot of people who move out, one, it's just like privacy, mm-hmm. right? Like they value privacy higher than valuing. And again, it's a different mindset, right? It's not one's not right or the other's not better or worse. I feel, and most people would be like, hey, how are you doing this, right? Like, how are you living with your parents? And my parents still yell at me, right? Like, you know, I wait, like, it's okay that, you know, you made a couple million dollars, but why is your shirt on the floor.
Yeah.
And I get yelled at for that. Or like, you know, any, like what yeah. parents yell at you for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just wake up and they're not in the best mood and I get yelled at. Like, what did I do? What did I do? Right? Or they're like, it's like 10 o'clock. He's like, when are you coming home? I'm like, I'm 35. Like, but then you have to be willing to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And then the more important thing is finding a person that's okay with that, right? Because, you know, we're living in the house. My parents are parents.
Your beautiful wife, Unati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to have found her. And same thing with my brother and his wife, right? Like we've found someone that can connect with our family culture.
Yeah.
Because there would be times where, you know, they would get disagreement. Like my parents would get a disagreement with our wives, right? But our wives are very respectful to the elders. They would not talk back. They respect and they understand the family dynamic. And
I think my family would end up in an insane asylum if we try to put us all in the same house.
No, but that's where you're. There might be misunderstanding that hey, we don't fight. We do fight. Right? But then I guess it's just like, hey, are we going to be okay with it? Like, is that matter that big that we should move out? Or, you know, I think the biggest thing that I feel like everyone else in the house is better than me at is forgetting. Like, you know, you fight, next day you wake up, nothing happened.
Mm.
Right? Everything's normal and you move on. And,
yeah.
you know, building, having that kind of mindset, it's what drives us to continue to live together.
Yeah. And it's what makes you great at running a business together. I mean, I talked to Adarsh about the same thing of, you know, family's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of the most important things about family businesses is that, you know, that longevity and
yeah.
that tenacity you have because you love each other.
And there's so. one more factor I would say that contributes to us staying together. It's because both my brother and I, we like making money, but I don't really care. Like if he wants to take everything tomorrow, I'll be like, take it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, maybe give me one of the houses so I can live, but I can make it back or I can just get a job and live a normal life.
Yeah.
Right? It won't make a difference if. And same thing with him, right? Like, if I ask him, he'll give me everything. Or
yeah. Well, before this, like, we went to a bar and you ordered a beer, which I knew you would not like because it's some crazy hipster sour beer.
Trying new things.
You took a sip of it, and sure enough, you were like, immediately like, this is disgusting. And your brother instantly was like, give me your beer. That's all right. Give me mine. And you're like, no, it's okay. And he forcefully took your beer and drank it.
Yeah, and anybody hated it.
Probably.
Hated.
It's pretty incredible that he's, you know, you guys are both very selfless. I see that a lot when
yeah.
you're
I think
together.
It's just, I think that drives from my father. He's been like that with his parents and his family.
Yeah.
And he's done everything he could for them. And that kind of mindset goes to us. And we like working and making money. And like I said, but, you know, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It's just more of a game for us. And we like playing the game.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So what roles do you each play in the business? You and your brother and
We have different roles, right? So my dad manages our banks. He looks at what we spend, what we don't spend. And if I you know, buy something random on Amazon, I get yelled at. Like, why are you buying random shit? Like, hey, it's like $10. My brother is, he's more of the visionary, I would say. So he always looking at he has millions of great ideas, right? Every morning, his mind is always ticking. Like, he would be like, hey, how do I sell this plant to this company, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if he was here, he'd be like, you know, this is an interesting concept of a studio. We should do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would just come up with all these ideas, and then we both would implement them. So, you know, I would be more on the back end, helping implement while he would come up with the ideas to implement. I would say that's our difference. My mom's retired. My father, he takes care of the banks, and our wives help out in the business.
How did you – so your brother's the visionary. You're the, you know, operator, whatever you want to call it, which it's a dynamic I've seen in many businesses.
Yeah.
My dad – I think I've talked to you about this before. I saw it with my dad and my uncle when they worked together. I've seen it, you know, even in the film industry – you see it with directors and editors, mm-hmm. where there's the visionary and then there's the one who sort of pulls it all together and makes it work. How did you find those two roles? Did you just naturally fall into
it? I think it's just our personalities, right? I'm quieter. I don't like talking to people. he, on the other end, is out there. He likes talking to people. He likes learning new things. He's a thinker. I see something and I get it done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how, I'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll find a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a perfect.
Yeah, he comes up with
marriage, but it's a perfect balance.
It is
between the two of you, which is very.
And I feel like that's one of the reasons we get along. We get to, and you know, surprisingly, like we think different. And a lot of people say this, that we're very different, but our end objective is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we will take two different paths, but we want the same thing at the end.
Well, you guys complement each other.
Yeah.
And I think that is, you know, again, in my business experience, having people that complement each other is so vital.
It is.
Rather than people trying to do the same
thing. Yeah, because in our scenario, if I come up with ideas and also he comes up with ideas, then we'll clash. You're like, hey, you know, which idea should we focus on? And
mm-hmm.
and it may or may not work. Well, whatever we have going has worked for us so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as I said, you've recently become a father.
Yeah.
Congratulations. How has that changed your perspective on life?
And I think I mentioned this to you on our walk here or while we were having beer. I felt like I was already a father with my niece and nephew.
Right.
And actually I did. So I feel like this is not my second because we live together, right? So I've seen them from birth. I see them every day. They've grown with me. I get to have all the fun with them. And then when it's diaper change time or when they're crying, I give them back to.
Yeah.
So this is having your own baby is a little more difficult because he's in your room and he's 2 a.m. at night. He needs to wake up. He's crying. And my wife is great. She does 90% of the work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's harder. But the perspective in terms of how it's changed me having a baby is I think I want to I feel like I'm more – I was always conservative, but I feel like I'm going to become more conservative in myself and then seeing every step I do is like, hey, how will this impact the baby
mm-hmm.
or my son? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. So just being more thoughtful about
More thoughtful what about you everything.
And, yeah.
Taking time off work.
Which I don't believe you've ever done.
Yeah, which I've never done. But then, you know, I randomly just go sit with my son.
That's awesome.
Which, you know, we're not doing anything. He's 3 months old. But, you know, just holding him gives a meaning to life.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you don't feel when you don't have a baby.
It's impossible to describe.
Yeah. I'm sure you know. You have two daughters now.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, one of the other discussions or one of the other interviews I've done, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and she's just about to have her second child. And we were discussing, like, the impact it's had on us. And the one thing that we were saying was I used to see business as one of probably the most important thing in my life. And it defined me, you know, my worth. Like self-worth, et cetera. And my ego was tied up in it and everything. Having kids completely
changes
that. And your values change.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't care about my family, but, you know, my parents and my brother, but it's a whole other level of prioritization.
For sure.
And it's created my own bubble, which I really like, because no matter how bad things get in whatever personal
you always business have,
or whatever, you always have your family.
Yeah.
And that is a super powerful tool that, you know, now I have that some people don't have. And the fact that I can go home and, you know, my daughter runs to meet me at the door or whatever. Yeah, it's just an incredible.
Yeah, like no amount of money can like, you know.
Fill that yeah. hole in your heart.
Like, yeah. and that happens, right? Like, you're working and you know that, hey, if you work an extra hour, you may make like $5,000-$10,000 more. But let's take your son to soccer. Right? Or that's more valuable.
Yeah.
That half an hour of them just running around.
Yeah.
Happy or smiling or.
Yeah.
And you must see on my Instagram, I take my nephew to skating.
Yeah. Believe me, your kids have a more active Instagram profile than I do personally. So you now have kids, your brother has kids. You and your brother started your own thing, albeit in a way to help your family.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're successful. Your family is unbelievably successful, you know, relative to the average family out there.
Yes.
And what do you want your kids to do? Do you want them to join the family business or not?
It's interesting to say because I actually talked about this with my brother, right? Like we want – I think when you don't have something, you want it. But once you have it, you know, you can be more lenient with it. I don't care if they're financially successful or not. I want to give them the best education they can get. And one thing I do want them to do is travel the world. Something I've been passionate about, but I feel like initially I wasn't able to. I would, but they have the opportunity to.
Mm-hmm. Why does that matter?
Life is short. See as much as you can, do as much as you can. There's no point of, we're not made to work all day. I know I do it, but I've understood, and I know I can't stop doing it. But because I guess I was raised like that, right? My mom had to do a factory job. And then if she had the opportunity, she would do the second factory, like second shift and even third shift, right? Like, that's how we were built. But I don't, that's something, you know. When I was in university, it's just like, hey, should I go backpacking for a year? Like, you know, all the other interesting kids, or let's find a job, let's make money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want him to have that drive to just, hey, let's make money, let's make money, let's make money. I want him to do what he likes, whatever he's passionate about. And
so I'll throw in my perspective, just as somebody who did grow up in, you know, my dad was
right.
You. He was the – him and his brothers were the original successes.
Yeah.
And I grew up, you know
– and hopefully it's fair to say is I hope my kids grow up as humble and modest as you.
That's a very, very kind thing to say. But I'm sure they'll grow up even better. My perspective on it – so I was very fortunate growing up. I could travel. You know, I did get to go backpacking. But one thing that I don't want to say I'm envious of, but you brought up earlier, it's that wanting for something.
Yeah.
And it's this weird scenario of where everybody wants to, you know, my dad, all he ever wanted was to be able to provide for his family. And he had an unbelievable business career. You know, my uncle did as well. And there was so much that they fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the next generation can unfortunately get so effed up because they lose that compass or that desire to become better. And I don't at all feel like I've lost that.
Right.
But I do see how often people do lose that.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but you're not, from my perspective, you're not losing anything. And I've talked to a lot of successful generational wealth people, and they all feel the same way. They're like, hey, you know, I should build something on my own. I have to live up to my father's expectations, or, you know, he did X, Y, Z. I got to beat it in my own path. A lot of people don't even want to join their family business. They want to create something of their own, mm-hmm. right? But if you look at it from the other perspective, is any kid who is not well off dreams to have that life, right? Well, they're willing. They don't have to think about money. They don't have to wake up and be like, oh, my God, you know, I gotta do well in school so I can get a job, right? Like, that's all those stress is, it's just not needed in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess grass is greener on the other side, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
A person who has generational wealth might feel like, you know, I want to have that drive to succeed, but they can, you know, do everything else they want to do, what this other person with no money mm-hmm. can't, right? They already have what a person who doesn't have anything wants to get at.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you. It's a perverse psychological trap that people get into.
And then most likely my kids will be in that trap. They'll be like, hey, you know, I want to do something different. I don't want to, you know, they'll have their own problems. But at the end of the day, one thing is that I don't want them to stress about things like work because I don't think life is about working. It's about finding your own meaning and doing what you think will make you happy. But I will make sure they get a good education so they can support themselves.
Yep.
Like if make sure they get the highest level of education.
Yeah.
So if they're off on the streets, they can get a job. They can.
Yep.
They can take care of themselves and their family or whatnot.
But
aside from that, do whatever the hell you want.
Your parents taught you your work ethic is what I've sort of heard from this discussion so far.
Yes.
You got to see that. You and your brother have an immense work ethic as well. Are you hoping that your kids learn that work ethic that you've learned from your parents?
Yes. I feel like, again, that kind of contradicts with what I'm saying, like, hey, they don't need to stress about work. But if they want to work, they should be able to have that work ethic. Like, have it, but they don't have to utilize it. Right? Like, if they want something, and their work ethic can go anywhere, right? Like, if they're passionate about traveling, then make sure you travel everywhere. Right? Don't just not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
follow your passion.
Yeah, follow your passion, but work hard at it.
Yeah.
You know, do it properly.
Yeah.
Don't try to find shortcuts. Just do what you can, the best you can.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's great advice. I honestly do. Where do you want? So, talking about the next generation, where do you want your family business to be in 20 years from now?
Twenty times more. I want to. Obviously, my brother and I, we like growing our business. We want to do new things, find something that will take us to the next level, right? I mean, in terms of wealth, do something because right now we're kind of stagnant. Like, hey, we've reached a certain point. Now, how do you reach the next point? Right? And how do you become this global company, or how do you build a global company where you can, you know, you have thousands and thousands of employees? And like what we're trying to do with Hire India, if mm-hmm. if we can get 10,000 employees in the next 5-10 years, then, you know, that's massive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think what we've done so far is good and good for us, but we haven't created something global. So I think that I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Taking it to, like, for me and my brother, at least, take it to the next level. Do something. It's not for, and again, now we're not doing it to put food on our table. We're doing it because we're passionate about it.
Got it.
So it becomes a different kind of game.
So with that, we talked about at the very start this, you know, interesting. What's the word I'm looking for? The fact that you failed marketing.
I didn't fail.
Sorry, but you didn't do well.
I did the best. It was a hard program.
Yeah. Sorry. What is the word I'm thinking of? But you didn't do well at marketing, but then you're an unbelievable marketer. You know, the things you learn in an MBA or in business school, or even the corporate world, are in many ways not entrepreneurial. And are, you know, there's rules and there's structure. And yeah. And my point of this is, as you go to that next level, does that structure start to matter? And do you need to actually...
It does matter. It does matter. And you know, I would not say that what I did bad in my marketing class, because I guess I was bad at it, maybe. I was bad at what he was teaching me. I wasn't able to understand what he was teaching me, or maybe I wasn't able to explain my answers as they should have been.
You also may have been distracted, because my experience was you were doing...
No, I was actually... No, when I was in marketing...
This is not your MBA. This is
my bachelor's program. Yeah. And I was... One, I was distracted because I was stressed about doing well, mm-hmm. right? So I wasn't able to... Maybe instead of focusing, I was stressing about doing well. Second, maybe I just wasn't good at that subject, but... What I'm good at in marketing now wasn't existing in the books that we learned, mm-hmm. right? Like Facebook marketing wasn't one of the topics that we learned in our school. And what we learned is basic traditional marketing, what P&G or Coca-Cola would do, right? Not D2C, Facebook, social media marketing, which never existed. So maybe I was bad at what we were learning in class, but then a different type of marketing opened up, which I excelled at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's fair enough. So, but going forward to take it to the next level, what do you think the biggest hurdles are for you guys?
I think the biggest hurdle is understanding the scale, right? Like we lived in a box when we first moved to Canada. We thought that factory job was the only kind of job you can get. Mm-hmm. When I was in 12th grade, the first time I knew what a university was when I went to university fair. Mm-hmm. I had no idea people go to university or there's a difference between university and college. The program I gone into, which was Schulich School of Business, there was a stall for Schulich School of Business. It was the first time I heard about it, mm-hmm. right? First time I realized what money was my roommate mm-hmm. At university, right? It was funny because he came home. He had season courtside tickets to a basketball game.
Courtside?
He had season courtside ticket to a basketball game. $107,000 for two. I'm sitting here scratching my head. My parents make $35,000 a year. I'm like, how? How does he have... I've never been to a basketball game at that point. I mean, you know, it's expensive. And then he had season's tickets. I'm like, how do you make money? And then another wild thing he said was they go to family vacations to the Bahamas every year. I was like, holy shit, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you like? And then that kind of opened my box. I'm like, hey, there's more to life than just factory jobs, right? So right now, I think it's just like, hey, there's more to business than what I know so far. So I gotta do something that's. What I'm not doing now, I gotta learn from people who've done something, and implement that to be where they are. Mm-hmm. So it's just about putting yourself out there, learning new things, finding good mentors where you can learn from, and then seeing where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Last question. You have. Gone from very humble beginnings in another country to incredible success, and you stayed level-headed the whole time. You and your brother and your parents and your wives and your beautiful children, you're all just as close as you were mm-hmm. at the start of that journey. What is the most important piece of advice you could give to people that are in a family business of how to keep their family together?
I think it shouldn't, like, first get your head out of materialistic things. Like, don't let it matter to you. Know what your role is and focus on that role. Don't worry about the output of that role. If you like if you're working, just work, right? Like, don't get distracted with the stress of money, making money, or what's mine, what's yours, right? And within the family. Because, you know, right now, my brother and I, we still have the same bank account, right? which my dad controls. Like, I don't care about the money we make. I mean, it's there. We'll spend it equally, or he'll spend more, or I spend more. Nobody keeps count, right? I feel like just don't think it's different. Like, if he spends a dollar, don't think it's different than what I'm spending, right? Like, it's just like we spent a dollar. His happiness is my happiness, or, you know. I genuinely get happy when he does something he likes, right? And it's like, don't think about, I think biggest thing that splits families up is probably money. Disagreements between money or again, what's mine or and what's your scenario where mm-hmm. it's like, hey, you know, you work harder than me. Or, you know, what if I want to take 5 days off? Do I get deducted 5 days worth of pay? Or does he get deducted? It's not like that, right? Like, we're in this together. If he wants to take a month off, just chill. Go for it. I'll do my part, keep doing it. And then, and he feels the same way, right? Like, there is no strict thing that dictates who does what. We just try to do everything together. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, you know, we'll still be together.
Beautifully put. Okay. Well, I really appreciate the time, Nirav.
No, thank you for having me. It was great chatting.
Absolutely. It was incredibly interesting. And as I said, you were humble the day I met you. And it is so impressive to see what you and your brother have done. And I'm so happy for you guys having kids and going to the next generation. So
thank you so much for having.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time. I'm Luke Hanson McDonald. This was Beyond the Family Business. Please review and subscribe. Thank you very much. Talk to you next time.